get all kinds of pearls, beautiful treasures. And the deeper you go, the more your likelihood of finding precious pearls. Raman Maharishi in his teaching talks about the diver who, controlling his breath, can close the door fully, please. Controlling his breath, goes deep and finds treasure. Same way when in our meditation, when we control our breath, we go deep within and we find precious pearls. Similarly, the Mother Gita is such that whenever you approach her and whenever you study, no matter which chapter, which part, the moment you go get into it, you find such beautiful treasures, such wonderful, beautiful pearls of knowledge. And not only once, but I have found that every time you read the Bhagavad Gita, she talks to you differently, gives you more information, more knowledge, more depth. So repeated study of this scripture is very, very important. Just having read one time is good, but one should read on our own too. Whatever we discuss in the class, of course, you should read, but all of you have the 18 chapters, so read them on your own also, because you will get your own insights. What I may speak or what Gurudev may speak is different, but then each one of us interprets in our own way. So that is the benefit of spiritual learning, where you can see what is applicable to me, to my life, and how is the Bhagavad Gita going to help me and how can I apply it? Because Arjuna was facing this war, this challenge. But we are not facing that kind of a war, but we, each one of us, have challenges in our life which we have to encounter. So the knowledge of the Gita helps you. Mahatma Gandhi used to read it every day, and so many other great social workers. You ask them, where did you get this inspiration? They say it's from the Bhagavad Gita, especially the chapter on Karma Yoga, Bhakti. You know, those are the ones for beginners, for us. And then as we advance, then the chapters 7 and 9, which deal with the highest knowledge. And also the second chapter, what we have done so far, from 11 to 29, where the teaching starts, where Bhagavan starts his teaching. Arjuna in the first chapter expresses his doubt, and then the teacher talks from the 11th. So far, Bhagavan has told us that there is one Atma, one consciousness, which we call Om, which is one, which is not different, which is the same in all of us. That is one Atma, Brahman consciousness, which is immortal, which does not perish, which does not modify, does not change, is never born. And all of us are eternal. None of us will ever perish. Yes, the body will perish, but me, the self, the Atma, the consciousness, will not. And our choice is whether I want to think I am the Atma or whether I want to think I am this body. And based on that will be our activities. So now we are going to continue the 30th, which is the end of this teaching. And then Bhagavan will come down to a lower level. But right now he's still at the highest. So this is the last verse of the previous section, 11 to 30. And these verses are not only meant for listening and studying, but they are meditative verses. When you sit for meditation, you say, I am that Atma, I am that Self, and this body is not me, this mind and intellect is not me, these vasanas are not me, these desires, I am not the perceiver, feeler and thinker, but I am that immortal Self. Chidananda Rupaha Shivoham Shivoham, Shankaracharya ji says that in Nirvan Shatkam. So these are meditative verses. They are not just verses to speak or listen, but to contemplate and meditate. So this, the last one, is verse number 30. Dehi nityam avadhyoyam.
Dehi sarvasya bharata. Tasmat sarvani bhutani. Natvam shochitum arhasi.
So dehi means the indweller. Indweller means the consciousness, the atman, Even though here it is called indweller, this consciousness is not only within our body, but it's everywhere. It's within and without. So even though here Bhagavan refers it to it as Dehi, but it is inside and outside the body, everywhere. That one Atman is there in space. It actually extends even much beyond space. It is there in heaven, hell, everywhere. Wherever one can think of, wherever our mind can go, it is already there. But here, for our understanding, we consider it as the indweller, because it is inside my body illumining it and outside my body as illumining all other beings, the plants, animals, everybody. So Dehi, this indweller, is Nityam, ever avadhyo. I am this Dehi, this Atma is Nityam avadhyah, means it is always eternal, cannot be destroyed. Vadhya means cannot be killed, cannot be destroyed, because that was Arjuna's doubt that all these people will be killed. So he says, this Atma, which is Dehe Sarvasya, which is in the bodies of all beings. Dehe means in the body, seventh case. Sarvasya, all the beings, O Bharata, O Arjuna, this consciousness is the indweller, eternal in all beings, never perishes. Therefore, Sarvani Bhutani, therefore, for all these beings, Sarvani Bhutani, all these beings you are thinking of, not only the beings who are in the battlefield, but plants, animals, birds, they all perish. They perish, they are reborn, regenerated. Natvam shochitum arhasi. You should not shochitum grieve arhasi. Should not. Arhasi is translated as should not. But arhasi has another meaning, means it is not worthy of you. See, you are such a wise person, you are such a brave warrior, you have studied so much, you're such a brave individual, and how come you are crying and mourning about this situation? You should understand, it's not worthy of you to grieve for all these beings. So let us talk a little bit about it. So indweller is eternal. We have talked many times in the past few weeks. I won't spend much time. As we know, the Om, the consciousness, the Lord is eternal, never perishes. And the body perishes, but if I say I am the Atma, I am this Atma. Atma is me. So Atma or Bhagwan or Brahman, we think of as, oh, all pervading, he's everywhere, God, Lord is everywhere, he's in space, but he is me. That understanding we should have. But again, as I had mentioned last week, when I say I am Atma, then I should not walk around thinking I am God. No, as a human being with this body, mind and intellect, with my name of Anil or Satish or Varsha, whatever male, female I have been given, as an individual, I am a servant of God. Whatever I am doing, whatever, whether I am teaching, whether I am studying, whether I am working, whether I am taking care of my children, whatever activities I'm doing it as a servant of God. But inside I should know that my higher nature, my true nature is Atma, and I never perish. And as long as I am in this body, I will work, do his work. But when it's time to go and the time to drop the body, I say I don't drop the body. In fact, that I am the Atma should come into all our understanding. Whenever there is a sorrow at the physical level, any pain, it's Atma, I'm Atma, it's not happening to me, it's happening to the body. I take Tylenol, I don't have to say, oh, I have a headache. No, don't go down, take Tylenol and go about doing your work, because I am Atma. Headache is to the body, it's not to me. Same way somebody insults me, somebody criticizes me, somebody praises me, somebody loves me. If they don't love me, they don't love this mind, but I am the Atma. So I cannot be loved or not loved. In fact, I love everybody because they are all me. Same way, if somebody insults me, if I have success or failure, okay, success or failure happened to this body, but I am Atma, I am beyond success, I am beyond failure. So then what happens is we don't have these ups and downs. The same way when things are going well, I am so wonderful. No, I am Atma, I am the same. I am neither happy nor unhappy. The body, the mind can be happy, unhappy. Let it, but I am. So it gives you an equanimity to face life's challenges, because life will constantly throw challenges at us. None of us is free of challenge. None of us is free of problems. problems will come, but if you say, I am this body, yes, then if, with old age, oh, I am getting old, what am I to do? My body aches. My body aches, I don't ache, I am Atma. So bring that, but don't go around telling. This is not something to be told to others. You don't go around telling, I am God. You know that? No, I am a servant of God. So that is, that distinction should be made very clear, because sometimes people misunderstand this, especially teachers, you know, who start teaching, then they get this idea, I am God, you know, and all these people, I'm teaching them. So one has to be very cautious in understanding this knowledge. The second point that one gets from this deha, it says that it should, you should drop your body identification. Don't keep on thinking I am the body. Don't keep on doing things for nourishing the body, feeding the body, buying clothes for the body, jewelry for the body, house for the body, car. Yes, whatever my needs I do need, but beyond that, limit your... Don't have to go that often to the mall. We don't have to, you know, shop unnecessarily. What I need, I buy. Whatever extra I have, clean out your closet. I try to do that every year when I go to India. I take a suitcase full of old clothes. We have so many clothes. You know, kids will give you, you know, Christmas and birthday and employees. Clothes keep on accumulating. They come from nowhere. And so the best thing is get rid of them. And or if here, if you can give it to Salvation Army or whatever, start emptying your closet, things that in your garage that you don't need. Slowly reduce and make your life simpler. I mean, we cannot become sannyasis, but if I can simplify my life, if my car is running fine, why do I need to change it every 3 years? It's running, let it run. Same thing, my house, I have a comfortable house, just keep living in it. To drop body identification is a very, very beautiful story I heard. So Ramakrishna Paramhans, you all know he was a great saint in West Bengal, in India. Very evolved saint. And he was a devotee of the Mother Goddess, Mother Durga. And anytime he thought about her or he heard about her, he used to go into trance. And he actually... He was one with her, even in the temple when he would be praying, instead of putting a garland on the goddess's neck, some devotee would bring a garland, he would put it on his own neck. They would bring food to offer to the Mother Goddess, he would start eating because he saw no difference between himself and goddess. So he, and one time it was summer, so he was wearing this dhoti, you know, this Indian cloth, which you just tie, there is no thread, there is no belt. You just tie it and it's not very stable. You know, it's not a, the women's saris are stable because they are tucked into that petticoat, but men's dhoti is very, very loose. And he was not wearing any shirt, just a dhoti and a small underwear. And he was walking through the market just, and suddenly he heard a song about the Mother Goddess, some bhajan. He went into the trance. He was in such a trance that his dhoti slipped off, you know, because, you know, it's not meant for to go into trance, it's meant to work. And so he's walking with this tiny little underwear through the whole market and look in supreme joy. And a couple of his devotees were walking by and they saw our master, our guru, look what he's walking with. So they bowed down to him, said, Guru, where is your dhoti? He said, you are asking me, where is my dhoti? I'm asking you, where is my body? He had lost his body identification. He just said, I don't know where my body is. I'm not even in the body. And in meditation, you may have little experiences of that. But he always lived with that. That was his eternal state. He never thought he was the body. And he could, for him, body meant nothing. And that's what we have to get from this message. That, as I said, in meditation, you may get brief periods when your mind becomes so still and then you don't even know that the body is there and your breath is coming in and out, but you don't even know you're breathing, you know, that state. But these yogis can always be in that state. So that is what the meditative experience is. So they describe the body as a jacket that I wear. And when the jacket gets old and it has holes in it and it cannot keep out the winter and it's no use to me and it's no use to anybody else, I discard the jacket and get a new jacket. So similarly, when the body becomes old and develops all holes and, you know, nothing seems to work well, nothing is under my control, it's time to drop the body and pick up a new body. Then, na shochitum arhasi, what is there to grieve? What is there to mourn? So how do we reduce body identification? So they say by self-control. Slowly start deciding what you will do rather than the body dictating to me. For example, diet. You know, the body says, this is I want. No, I have to decide what I want to put in this body. Put healthy food. Just after a while, when you get used to it, even salads and fruits taste very good. So eating more sattvic food, eating more purer food, then some amount of fasting. Say I have overeaten for lunch, then I won't eat dinner, or maybe decide one day a week or twice a month, Ekadashi, or maybe every Monday or whatever day you have chosen. Start by not eating dinner and then slowly increase that, you know, eat more liquids. So fasting, what a lot of times when we fast, it is I substitute. So I won't eat regular food, but I eat so much of sabudana, khichdi and all that. So that's not fasting. It is change of diet. So I have to develop some amount of self-control so that I decide what the body, and maybe giving up harmful, if I know that I have this harmful habit, maybe of smoking or drinking, or some people get very angry, you know, a lot of anger I have, or I have a lot of selfishness, jealousy. I know my own weaknesses. So dropping those and deciding that from tomorrow onwards, I will not do this. So consciously develop some amount of self-control and live a life of moderation. And self-control is not for punishing the body, but it is for gaining mastery over my body, mastery over my emotions, not let me go up and down and happy and unhappy, depressed. If I have anger, I control it. If I have jealousy, I control it. If I have selfishness, and also getting the right knowledge, but not getting so caught up in the knowledge that I know so much or I am so smart. Oh Lord, it is because of you that I am doing whatever. So that is the essence of this particular verse. And here we end this particular section in the second chapter from 11 to 30, which is the highest knowledge. It is the knowledge of the Upanishads. That's why we say, na, sarvo upanishado gavo dogda gopala nandana. Upanishads are the cow, and Krishna, the cowherd, has brought this knowledge for us. Bhagavan has milked the essence of the Upanishads and made it so easy to understand. And then the question comes, why did the problem arise? Why did the problem arise for Arjuna? Why does the problem arise for us when we face problems in life? To whom is the problem? They say the problem is to the jiva, the individuality. Problem is not with Atma, not with consciousness. Raman Maharishi, anytime anybody asked him, I have this problem, he says, to who is this problem? He never answered, never solved anybody's problem. He said, to who is the problem? He said, problem is to me, Guruji, that's why I'm coming. He said, who are you? He said, I am this individual. No, inquire really who you are. So he would make everybody inquire. And he said, once you understand you are that, then there is no problem. So the problems can be solved with proper understanding. So the moment you say, I am the jiva, the story starts. Like children's story, how it starts, there was a king, and then there was a queen, and then so on and on and on the story. So for us, when does the story start? When I say, I am this limited jiva, this BMI, then your life story will start and will go on and on and on. If you say, I am Atma, then there is no story. Whose story is it? It is the story of this body. There's a film going on. There's a movie and there's a play, and I'm an actor. I'm playing the role. So it's just, yeah, do my role to the best of my ability. What the above director, divine director, has given me that part, I do it. But when it's time to go, so that is the essence of this verse. So now Bhagavan is coming down to a lower level. He has spoken at the highest level, and now he says, let us come to a simpler, because Arjuna is not yet convinced, because he doesn't think he is Atma. Just as a lot of time people who are hearing the Bhagavad Gita for the first time, they say, it's okay to write in the book, but when you know when the problems come, then you forget you are Atma. So, okay, if you are not Atma, you are doing this duty. So I'll talk to you from the level of duty. Any question before we move on this topic? Yes.
Say that I am the Atman, the Atman. Okay, so now what about a person, you know, that's way over on them, you know, left? Like, say the person or persons that started the fires in the Southland, or the killers, the murderers, that, you know, that out for themselves, you know.
Right. So the wicked people, yes.
Yeah. So where does the Atman, you know, is it still there?
They are as much Atman as you and me. Atman is there in the lion, and Atman is there in the deer. When the lion attacks the deer, you don't say deer has Atman, lion doesn't have. They both have. Murderer has as much Atman as you and me, as much as Mahatma Gandhi, as much as Shankaracharya, as much as Jesus, as much as Swami Chinmayananda. Atman is the same in all. It's not that God is less in a sinner and more in a saint. God is there equally. The manifestation are different based on their vasanas. Based on their vasanas, which leads to thoughts, emotions, and ideas, and action. So because they have wrong ideas, wrong tendencies, they act wrong. But so they misuse the power of Atman. God is same in every one of us. It is how you use or misuse. It's like a knife. You can use it to kill somebody, or you can use a knife to save a life. You know, for a surgeon, life in his hand will save him. While a murderer, so it's not the fault of the knife. It's the fault of the person wielding the knife. So similarly, the person lighting the fire, or a rapist, or a child molester, has God's power in him, but he or she is misusing it. So Atman is the same. There is no difference. God does not play any favorites. He gives everybody equal. Right. Yes.
I just wanted to make a comment that maybe on your Tylenol example. So when I get into some body ache at home, then I try to think a lot about I should take Tylenol or Motrin. These are like external whatever. Minimize its consumption.
Right.
And my wife will tell me, you're too obsessed with your body. Just take a Tylenol, drop the pills, go to work.
Right.
So it kind of, just thinking about avoiding these things, it could also be a reflection of your attachment to the body.
Yes,
itself.
Yes. Now, I believe like her. I never, even no matter how sick I am, I try never to miss work. Even I remember days when I used to be sick and have the cold, and I will take antibiotics, take Tylenol, and I go to work. I had my knee surgery, and next morning I was doing procedures. You know, people take 2 weeks off. Take medicine and do your job. So then otherwise you are letting the body decide what you want. Theek hai, you know, problems will come. But actually, I used to wheel me around in a wheelchair. But I never, literally didn't. People think I'm crazy. Neeru used to tell me, you're a nut. You're crazy. You had just had surgery yesterday. You're going today. I said, I'm fine. The knee is hurting. So I'll take medicine and do my procedures. I did them. And the patients, they were bringing them to me to talk. And then I would give them the result. And then they would wheel me to the next patient. In a day or two, I was fine. I was walking. So it's, yeah, body will have its problems. Do you let it get to you or not? Yeah, take Tylenol and do your work. That's what I believe. I mean, you don't have to take Tylenol at everything. But if it's hurting so much where you can't work, you have a headache or a bad backache, go ahead and do your work.
In my case, she knows me, that's why.
Right. Thank you. Hari Om. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Shanti, Shanti, Shantihi. Hari Om, Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.